Good afternoon, everyone. From Parshios Bereishis and Noach, we derive many of the mitzvos b'nei Noach. And in addition to the Zayin mitzvos b'nei Noach, we also have certain mitzvos that that b'nei Noach are prohibited from doing. So in this in Parshios Noach, we have the pasuk of Od kol yemei ha'aretz zerah v'katzir v'kor v'chom v'kaitz v'choref v'yom v'layla lo yishbosu. And from the words v'yom v'layla lo yishbosu, Rish Lakish in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Anun Chesem and Beis, derives that Akom Shabbos Chayiv Misa. The non-Jews are not supposed to observe the day of Shabbos. In addition to that, the Gemara goes on to quote Rabbi Yochanan, who adds another mitzvah that that Akum are not supposed to do. And Rabbi Yochanan says that Akum Sha'osek Batora Chayiv Misa. The non-Jews are not supposed to be Osek Batora. And the Gemara derives this based on the pasuk of Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. And the Gemara explains, "Lanu morasha velo lahem." It's for us an inheritance, and not for non-Jews. The Gemara then goes on to consider why this prohibition for Nachrim to be osik batorah is not counted as one of the Zion mitzvos. And it explains that you could read the pasuk in one of two ways. Either way, it would be included under a different category of the Zion mitzvos. Manda amar morasha migzal kagazilah. If we read the pasuk as the way that we read it, the way that we actually read it, of Morasha ki hilas Yaakov, so then it's inheritance for us, not for non-Jews. And if that's the case, then migzal kagazila, when a non-Jew is osek batorah, so that's included under the category of gezel, which is already one of the Zion mitzvahs. And then we have another manda amar me'orasa. That al tikrei morasha ela me'orasa. Don't read the pasuk as morasha, an inheritance, but rather me'orasa, as engaged. And so we say dino kinara ha'me'orasa de beskila. So if a non-Jew were to be osek batorah, then that would be a violation of the category of arayos, because the Torah is considered to be engaged to Jews, to be me'orasa to Klal Yisrael. So either way you look at it, whether you interpret the pasuk as morasha or me'orasa, the prohibition stands and is included under one of the other of the Zion mitzvahs. In addition to the prohibition for a Nachri to be Osek Batorah, there's also a prohibition that's stated in the Gemara in Chagiga and Yud Gimel Amid Aleph for a Jew to be Moser Torah to Nachrim. And that's based on the pasuk of Umishpatim Bal Yedaum, that we interpret the pasuk of Mishpatim Bal Yedaum not to be Moser, the Mishpatim of Torah, to non-Jews. So I wanted to discuss this topic with the time that we have, just a little bit in terms of the two aspects of this topic. One, the prohibition for an Akum to be Osek Batorah, and the other, the prohibition for a Jew to be Moser Torah, Lenochim. So the first question that we're going to focus on is really the nature of the prohibition for the Akum to be Osek Batorah. What's the nature of that prohibition? And secondly, what's the scope of it? So what types of Torah does it apply? Is it all encompassing? Does it apply to all areas of Torah? Does it apply to all types of Torah study? Or are there going to be some limitations on this prohibition? And finally, as we said before, we have the Gemara in Chagiga Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which establishes a prohibition to be Moser Torah to Nachrim. We want to know what the relationship is between the Isser for the Akum to be Osek Batorah himself and the prohibition for the Jew to be Moser Divrei Torah to Nachrim. What's the relationship between those two Isurim? So let's begin with the nature of the prohibition for an Akum to be Osek Batorah. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Tesmad Aleph, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, based on the Pasuk of Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Morasha Ki Hilas Yaakov. So the first and probably simplest approach is to take the Gemara at its word. We said before that the Gemara includes this prohibition for a Nachri to be Osek Batorah, either under the category of Gezel, that's if you read the Pasuk as Morasha, or under the category of Arayos, that's if you read the Pasuk as Atikrei Morasha Ela Mi'orasa. And if that's the case, so then we should view the prohibition of Nachri Sha'osek Batorah as a type of gezel or arayos. Of course, it's not a literal gezel or arayos. There's no monetary and there's no monetary aspect here. There's no sexual aspect here. But certainly, we could, based on the expansion of the Gemara here, we could view it as a type of gezel or arayos. So what would there be any difference between these two categories, whether you read the pasuk as morasha or me'orasa, whether you view it as gezel or arayos? So the Turei Evan actually has a very interesting nafkamina between these two. The Turei Evan in Chagiga Yud Gimel Amud Aleph suggests that if we view the nature of the Iser as a type of gezel, then we could apply the exception of mechila. Then we could say that if a Jew decides to teach the Torah to a non-Jew, so then the Isser for the non-Jew would no longer apply, because the Jew is basically being mohel his rights. To begin with, the Jew had exclusive rights to the Torah, but then when he decides to teach that Torah to a non-Jew, so he's giving up on those rights, and if that's the case, then the non-Jew would no longer be culpable for gezel. Whereas if we view the Isser as part of the category of arayos, so the category of arayos is not subject to mechila, and therefore Mechila would have no role here. So that's the Turei Evan's suggestion, that there would actually be a nafkamina between Gezel and Arayos, and therefore he explains that it's specifically according to the Manda Amar Gezel, according to the Manda Amar who reads the pasuk as Morasha, that the problem of Anachi Shaosek Bator is a form of Gezel. It's dafka according to that Manda Amar that we also need the pasuk in Chagiga of Umishpatim Bal Yidum Haluka in order to teach that a Jew is not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Because were it not for that pasuk, we would have said that when a Jew teaches Torah to a non-Jew, so then there's mechila involved, and there would be no iser for the Nachri in that case. That's the position of the Turei Evan. We should note that the other Achronim disagree with this, and they think that mechila is not applicable, even if you do think that the iser here is really like a form of gazel. The Minchas Chinuch explains that according to the Rambam, the iser would apply in all circumstances. And so too, the Sfas Emes says that mechila is not going to be applicable here, because who is the, so to speak, the bailim, who are the owners of the Torah here? It's a corporate body. That corporate body is Klal Yisrael. The corporation of Klal Yisrael is who has the bailus over the Torah. So if that's the case, then an individual's mechila is not only insufficient, but it's totally invalid. An individual cannot be mochel the rights of a corporation, so to speak. So that's the Sfas Emes's response. And he says that the Turei Evan's suggestion here, he doesn't relate to the Turei Evan, but he says that conceptually the Turei Evan's distinction between Gezel and Arayos and the Nafkamina of Mechila really falls apart. Because even if you think that the nature of the Isser is a form of Gezel, nonetheless, Mechila is not going to apply. So far, we've taken the Gemara at its word, and we've explained that the nature of the Isser is really to view the Isser as a type of Gezel or Arayos when you've considered one possible Nafkamina of Mechila. But when you look at some of the interpretations of the Rishonim, it seems to be that we view the Gemara here as more of an asmachta. That really, and the Gemara is saying that we don't count the Isser for an Akum Shuv Osek Batora under, we don't count it as an additional Isser because it's included in another category of Zayin Mitzvos, either Gezel or Arayos, but that's not meant to be taken literally. We don't really mean that the nature of the Isser here is a form of Gezel or Arayos. The nature of the Isser here is really something different, and the connection to Gezel and Arayos is really just an asmachta. So we find that really in two formulations of the Rishonim. First of all, in the Me'iri says very clearly that the problem here, the nature of the Isser here, is a chashash. It's a concern that if the people might mistake a certain non-Jew as being a Jew. If you see that a non-Jew is very learned, and he knows a lot of, he has a lot of Yedios HaTorah, so you might mistake him for being a Jew, which is going to lead to all sorts of problems in terms of the relationships between Jews and non-Jews. So therefore, says the Me'iri, that's why Akum Sho'osek Batorah Chayiv Misa, that's why an Akum is supposed to refrain from learning Torah. The Rambam has an additional approach. He says, and he applies this both to an Achri keeping Shabbos and also to Akum Sho'osek Batorah, that this is an issue of Chidush Das Va'asiyas Mitzvos La'atzman Bidam. The Rambam says, Miman Avshach. Either you're a non-Jew or you're a Jew. If you're a non-Jew, you should keep the Zayin Mitzvos Bnei Noach, and if you want to be a Jew, then you should be Miskayer and keep Tayag Mitzvos. But this kind of newfangled category of being a non-Jew, keeping Zayin Mitzvos, but then also taking on Shabbos and Limud Torah, that's something that's a category that doesn't exist, and therefore non-Jews should be dissuaded from keeping Shabbos and from learning Torah. So here we have, according to the Meiri and the Rambam, again, it's not really that the Isser is like Gezel or Arayos. Those are just kind of a smachta type of connections. But really the issue is something else, either a chashash, that we're going to mistake the non-Jew for a Jew, or a more fundamental problem of the kind of a creation of a new religion. So I thought that based on these different approaches, these three different approaches to the nature of the Isser, there might be a nafkamina of the quality of the limud that is prohibited. We said before, we want to ask what the scope of the Isor for an Akum to be Osek Batorah really is. So here, let's try to address the quality of limud that is going to be prohibited according to this Isor. So the Netziv, in his commentary in Sanhedrin, Nun Tesmad Aleph, in the Meromei Sada, has a very interesting distinction. The Netziv says that this Isor really prohibits only Iyun, only deep and rigorous type of Talmud Torah. But cursory learning is going to be permitted. That's the Meromei Sada's, that's the Netziv's distinction here. And we find other distinctions in other Rishonim as well. So the Meiri, for example, we quoted the Meiri before, who said that the nature of the Isser here was one of a chashash, a concern for mistaking the non-Jew as a Jew. So the Meiri adds that that being the case, so if the non-Jew's intention is to discover Shlemos HaTorah, is to discover the wholesomeness and the perfection of the Torah, such that he's going to want to convert after he learns Torah, or the Miri says actually a Kol Shekein, that if he practices the mitzvos about which he learns, then there would be no Isser for the Nachri to learn under those circumstances. So again, there would be two circumstances under which there would be no Isser according to the Miri. Either if the Nachri's intention is to discover the Shlemos HaTorah, or if he's going to practice the mitzvos about which he learns. So far we have two limitations on the scope of the Isser. The Meromei Sada said that the Isser applies only to Iyun, but not to cursory learning. And the Meiri says that it does not apply in cases in which the Nachri seeks to discover Shlemos HaTorah, or to practice the mitzvos about which he learns. When you look at the Rambam, so the Rambam doesn't introduce any distinctions here. For the Rambam, it seems to be that, unless we have evidence from elsewhere in the Rambam, but from the Rambam's codification of the Isser for Anachi to be Osik Batorah, it doesn't introduce any distinctions, and it seems to be all-encompassing. So what really lies behind these different opinions as to the scope of the limud that's going to be prohibited in this prohibition of Anachi Shah Osik Batorah? So perhaps it really relates back to the way that we view the nature of the Isser for Limud. The Netziv, again, distinguished between Iyun and more cursory, superficial learning. So what's the basis for that distinction? The Netziv actually makes reference to Na'ara HaMe'orasa. And he says that when one just does a type of cursory learning, so that's not really going to be a violation of arayos, so to speak, meaning of the idea of arayos. Because what the Netziv is seemingly getting at is that the connecting Esek Batorah to arayos means that Esek Batorah is a type of intimate connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is reserved specifically for Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Netziv says that on that basis, so the Isser is only going to apply when that intimate connection is manifested, when it's being expressed. So when is that intimate connection being expressed? Only when the Torah being learned is being learned bi'iyun, when it's being learned with profundity and with rigor and comprehensiveness. So then that is a manifestation of that intimate connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when the Torah is only being learned in a more superficial manner, so then that's not really a form of that intimate connection. And therefore there would be no problem for the Nachri to be Osek, for the Nachri to learn in that case. The Netziv actually references the language of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say not Akum Halomi Torah Chayiv Misa, it says Akum Sha'asak Batorah Chayiv Misa. So why does it specifically use the language of Asek? Because it's trying to connote that the only type of Lima Torah that's going to be prohibited is Asek, is a Lima Torah B'iyun. So again, this whole distinction is really based on viewing the Isser as connected to that category of Arayos and the idea that Limud Torah is a manifestation of the intimate connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. for the Meiri, so the Meiri's distinction that Nachri who learns Torah Nachri who learns Torah in order to discover the Shlemas HaTorah, or as to facilitate certain mitzvos that he's going to practice Lishma. So in those two cases, it would be mutter. For the Meiri, that's also very sensible. It flows from his view of the nature of the Isser. For the Meiri, the nature of the Isser was the chashash that people will mistake the non-Jew as a Jew. But if the non-Jew learns Torah in order to eventually convert because he wants to see the perfection of the Torah, so then you don't have that chashash because he's going to actually become a Jew in reality. And in addition, if he's practicing the mitzvos about which he learns, so I would assume that the Meiri's chashash doesn't apply, because the Meiri's chashash is that we're going to mistake the non-Jew for a Jew and then be misled by his practices. But if he's practicing the mitzvos the same way that we practice the mitzvos, so then there's no concern that we're going to be misled. For the Rambam, that there are no distinctions, that really this Isser applies across the board, so seemingly that also relates to the Rambam's view of the nature of the Isser. The nature of the Isser for the Rambam was Chidush Das, just the introduction, the kind of establishment of a new religion. So here the problem is learning Torah as learning Torah in its most basic sense. Learning Torah and keeping Shabbos, so those things that are, those are tenets of the Jewish religion. They're not really, they're not chiyuvim for Nachrim to do. So if they take them, those mitzvos upon themselves, then it seems like they're trying to create a new religion, and it doesn't really matter what type of Torah the Nachri is going to be learning. So up until now, we've discussed the nature of the Isser Limud and also the scope of it in terms of what quality of Limud is prohibited and what quality of Limud might be permitted. Now let's transition to our final question, which is the relationship between the Isser of the Isser Lilmod, which is what we've spoken about until now, and the Isser Lilamid, the Isser for a Jew to be Moser Torah to a non-Jew, which is established in the Gemara in Chagigo Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And here there's really an additional question that's very much related, and it's a question that's posed by many of the Rishonim, already starting with Tosfos, which is, why does the Gemara in Chagiga need to introduce a new Isser for a Jew to teach Torah to a non-Jew? After all, if a non-Jew is prohibited from learning Torah, so then the Isser of Lifnei Iver should prohibit a Jew from teaching Torah to a non-Jew. We don't need a new Isser of Umishpatim Bal Yuda'um. We already have the Isser of Lifnei Iver. So this just really provokes the question as to what the relationship is between the Isser Lilmod and the Isser Lilamid. So the Tosfos HaRosh says that in Achinami, really we could have said that the Isser to teach Torah is based on Lifnei Iver. But we have a more explicit pasuk, Umishpatim Bal Yida'um, do not let the laws be known. So that pasuk is a more explicit pasuk, and therefore we opt for that pasuk to teach to teach Torah to a non-Jew. But really, we could have referenced the pasuk of Lifnei Iver. So for the Tosfos HaRosh, it seems like really there's no difference between Lifnei Iver and Umishpatim Ba'idom Halaluka. There's just two different ways of saying it, two different sources that are really establishing the same Isser. And the Isser Lilamid is the flip side of the Isser Lilmod. There's a certain Isser for the non-Jew to learn Torah, and the flip side of that is that the Jew is not supposed to teach the non-Jew Torah. But they're really two sides of the same coin. So we shouldn't expect any distinctions between the Isser Lilmod and the Isser Lilamid. But we find in other sources that there are such distinctions. And that really seems to suggest that the Isser Lilamid is separate and apart from the Isser Lilmod, and even from the Lifnei Iver that accompanies it. And that's to say that there's an Isser for the non-Jew to study Torah, and then there's also an Isser of Lifnei Iver that applies to that. But separate and apart from that whole discussion, there's also an additional Isser of Umishpatim Bal Yida'um. And here, some of the Achronim introduce an expanded scope, meaning to say that even certain Torah that a non-Jew could learn, meaning that's not included in the Isser for a non-Jew to study Torah, would be included in the Isser for a Jew to teach the non-Jew. So here we have two expressions of that distinction. The Sfas Emes explains that the Isser for a non-Jew to study Torah would only apply to Torah Shebichsav, whereas the Isser for a Jew to teach a non-Jew Torah would include even Torah Sheba'al Peh. Similarly, the Maharsha introduces another distinction, and he says, just a word of background, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains that, of course, a non-Jew is allowed to study the mitzvos that apply to him. The Zion mitzvos b'nei Noach are allowed to be studied, by non-Jews, of course, because they have to keep those mitzvahs. So the Maharsha explains that even though non-Jews are allowed to study the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei Noach, nonetheless, the pasuk of Umishpatim bal Yida'um comes to establish that a Jew should not teach the Sodei v'ta'amei ha-mitzvos, even of those Zayin mitzvahs b'nei Noach. The Jew should not teach all of the ins and outs, all of the different aspects and components and different ideas that lie behind those Zayin mitzvos b'nei Noach, despite the fact that those Zayin mitzvos are allowed to be learned by non-Jews. So here we have Umishpatim bal Yida'um again, including an additional something additional. It's an expanded scope. So what we see from here is that the Isser L'Lamid, according to these Achronim, is actually separate from the Isser L'Lamod. It's not just the flip side, but it introduces a new din, a new Isser of Umishpatim Bal Yedahu. So what we saw today was really a discussion of the Isser L'Lamod and the Isser L'Lamid, what the nature of the Isser for a non-Jew to be Oseik Batorah is, what the scope of that Isser is, and how that relates to the Isser for a Jew to teach Torah to a non-Jew. So just some of the machshava behind this, and of course, just as a practical point, none of this is intended halach lemaisa. Those are much more those have been dealt with by other poskim. It's actually a very interesting article by Rabbi Bleich. That's in a copy of Tradition. I forgot which volume, but you can look it up online if you so desire, where he really goes through the entire sugya and all of the halacha lemaisa aspects of the sugya as well. Just to end on one note of machshava, so we find an emphasis in the mefarshim in this sugya on the aspects of iyun and Torah Sheba'al Peh, that it's specifically iyun and Torah Sheba'al Peh that really that are more problematic. In terms of Nachrisha Oseik BaTorah and in terms of the Isser for a Jew to teach Torah to a non-Jew. And perhaps what that signifies is that it's not Torah as a corpus. It's not Torah as a set of knowledge that's set aside for Klal Yisrael. But it's the depth of Torah and what that depth yields that is set aside for Klal Yisrael. We know that Ma'amad Har Sinai is described as a wedding, as a time during which HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out as a chasan to greet his Kaaba. So Talmud Torah marks that unique relationship that Klal Yisrael enjoys with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the opportunity and responsibility for Klal Yisrael to gain the most optimal understanding of Dvar Hashem and to generate the closest relationships possible with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Iyun and Torah Sheba'al Peh signifies. And it's for that reason that those aspects of Talmud Torah are reserved specifically for Klal Yisrael, as we said before, that those aspects of Talmud Torah mark the intimate connection that Klal Yisrael has the opportunity to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as such, those are reserved for Klal Yisrael in specific. I wish everyone a great rest of the week.